And welcome back to Small Town with Matt Gaff. I'm your host, Matt Gaff, and today we are talking about small towns in the Bible. And we've talked about Bethel, we've talked about Bethlehem, we've talked about the birthplace of Abraham in Ur. And now we're going to probably talk about the smallest possible town you could even think of. And that is no town whatsoever. Basically nomads. They are just people that randomly roam around the countryside, setting up tents, living from place to place. There's no set town. They just go from watering hole to watering hole. That is the small town we're going to talk about today. And we're going to kind of look at it through the eyes of John the Baptist, one of the most famous that was born from a small nomadic clan anyway. So first off, we want to say, you know, you can hear us on faithcast.com to discover other great Christian podcasts like this, one to help you keep the faith. I'm in the entertainment part of it, and so if you see me there, you can see that directory. There's also others for kids and stuff like that. So it's a great place to go. It's faithcast.com. So let's kind of like dive right into this thing with the nomads. So where was he born? Well, in the Bible, there's not really any mention of the exact location of where John the Baptist was born. There's speculation throughout history. We do know that his family was part of the nomads, part of a Jewish sect known as the Essenes. They moved around and lived in small groups in Judea. So we know the general area where he would have been. We know what his campsites would have kind of looked like. We know it would have been tents. They would have gone from waterhole to waterhole, or from town to town, trading what they found. Now, with being over in Iraq, when we were over there with the military, I got a chance to see a lot of these nomadic people, as it was, with tents. Now, obviously, back then they didn't carry generators. They didn't have pickup trucks like they do now, going from place to place. But pretty much the Iraq desert and everything's pretty much like the old West was for us. You find it, that's it. You know, there's some areas where obviously the military or the country doesn't want you to necessarily go into. But for the most part, if you're in the desert, if you've got water and food and power, then you're good. I mean, I've seen tents with satellite dishes. I mean, they're watching DirecTV soccer. You know, in a tent, which I did as well in the military sometimes. So once again, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, but what happened was these groups would go from place to place. A lot of times, too, they would worship with the locals, try to minister to them. So if it was a town that may not have had a relevant type of religious background or religious point of view, then these particular Jewish settlers or sets would go through and kind of evangelize. And that's kind of where John got his start too, is that, you know, from his family as well. You know, he was raised to believe in a Hebrew Messiah and practice baptism, which was very rare in the Jewish culture. So that's right there was already a shift from the generalized, you know, culture of Jewish over to more of a Christian viewpoint, which is, we can maybe go into more differences between the Jewish and the Christian faiths and how they're really similar in certain parts. But at this point, we're just going to talk about John the Baptist a little bit. What they would do is they would travel from waterhole to waterhole, preaching, ministering, trading, and that's what they did. They'd pitch up their tents, sit there for a few weeks, months, depending on the weather, and then move from place to place. A lot of times, too, depending on how they were perceived in the towns previous, they could be also on the run. You know, there was a lot of times Jesus had to go on the run. Paul had to go on the run. All the disciples had to go on the run a lot of times because of what they were preaching. And this would have been no different. This is a different type of Jewish belief. Once again, with the baptism, that made it completely different than what it was, and also with the Hebrew Messiah. A lot of times, and this is kind of fun, when I was researching this and I just kept getting this pop, I have a friend of mine who did a RV ministry throughout the United States. For a year, he just traveled with his family, going from place to place, teaching his kids, but also ministering too. And I'm sure that was, you know, had to have been great. But that's a lot of faith too, to go from place to place, not knowing if you're going to have enough money, if you're going to have enough supplies, if something happens. You know, there's a lot of faith involved with that, and that's what the Jewish settlers had as well. So, once again, we know that John did and said and how instrumental he was in the world. We know that John the Baptist was huge. We know that in the Bible it talks about he would be before the Messiah, before who he was actually talking about. Now, he didn't realize that he was that. Never really mentions it in the Bible that he himself believed that Jesus was the Son of Man, per se. We do know that he baptized Christ. We know that there was that he probably believed he was either a prophet, maybe, or some sort of spirit or something. We know that he probably may have thought about it, but we don't see it actually said out, you know, on text. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, or Son of God. We don't see that particularly, but we can see in the scriptures where, you know, the way he was preaching, the way that he was doing his ministries was foreshadowed within his own Bible itself. And I think a lot of times with something like that is that you get so wrapped up in your own ministries sometimes that you don't realize that you're fulfilling some other prophecy. And I think that's what happened. He was so focused on trying to get his message, which is probably the way it should be. They didn't realize what was actually going on until it was probably too late, and he was almost, you know, well, he was at the point of being beheaded probably when he realized what was going on. But at that point, he had no outside interactions after that. So, but with this small town, you know, you're going from place to place in with very few people. So we're talking some families. We're, you know, back then, I'm not sure. I've read anywhere from 20 to 30 families would go in this large caravan. And, you know, that makes for a really small town. We have more than 30 families in this town. So, you know, even at 30, 40 families is not really a lot when you consider it being a town. And like I said, I consider nomad setups to be almost like a town because, quite frankly, you still have that specialized trade that goes from place to place with them. They would still have to have a butcher. They would still have to have a blacksmith. They would still have to. All that would have been portable. And that's where I think that it's interesting and fun to think about the fact that they just picked up this town and moved it from place to place. And that out of that came John the Baptist, one of the forefront characters in the Bible, pastors, ministers, missionaries. He ranks right up there. So I think that coming from that small of a town, you know, he had a very precision, pinpoint accuracy with the scripture, because he wouldn't have had much to read except for this or for stories to listen to that. And when you get from a small town like that or from a small group, your outside influences become very small and very controlled. And so it makes for something like this where, you know, he's very knowledgeable in the Bible and in what's going on. And that's because he was very focused on that. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to look at some of these scriptures on John the Baptist, kind of point to where all this is leading. So I'll be right back right after this. All right, and welcome back to Small Town with Matt Gaff. I appreciate you hanging in there for that short little advertisement. Kind of helps keep the ministry free for everybody. So like I said, we're talking about the smallest of town possible, and that's nomads. That's where a group of families get together. They travel from the country, within the country or within the continent a lot of times, especially back then. It was from country to country almost. setting up a town, and literally after 2 or 3 months moving from place to place. So once again, in this one, you still have your blacksmith. You'd still have to have some sort of butcher. You know, you would have also had some cows, chickens. So you would have had some farmers, not farmers as far as grains or anything like that, because that takes a long time and steady. So that's one of the things that they would have been trading, would have been grains from town to town and going from water hole to water hole or oasis to oasis. I know, at least back when I was still in the military, when we would go through some of these places in Iraq, there was still nomads going. Now, most of it was now down to probably about 4 to 5 families, maybe 6. But what it would have been a tent with a generator and some other cool stuff. Basically living in a tent house, because I saw satellite dishes and some other things. So it was kind of fun. So what we're going to do now in the second part of this is we're going to kind of break down some of the scripture. So let's look at the scripture where John the Baptist is mentioned and kind of point to what I was talking about, him being a nomad. So it says in Malachi 4, chapter 4, verse 5 through 6. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. So basically what they were doing was predicting and actually prophesizing about John the Baptist. We know that when we look at scripture and we look at everything else, it points that John the Baptist was the prophet of Elijah that they were talking about. Obviously Elijah was before, but there, how Elijah would prophesize and prepare the people for the coming, that's what he was doing, and that's what John the Baptist was doing. So let's also look at Matthew 3, chapter 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, earlier I had talked about that John the Baptist was part of a sect which believed that baptism was necessary, and that the Messiah would be of Hebrew descent. Now, we know that Christ was of Hebrew descent because he came from the house of David, which we also know was part of the prophecy before that, too. Now, like I said, we don't know for sure if John the Baptist believed that Christ was actually the Son of God, or if he was a prophet. It's not clear here whether or not he actually understood who Christ was. He did understand the unnecessary but necessary of Christ being baptized, because he had to prove to us that it was necessary. Even if he did it, you know, he didn't need to, obviously. Christ didn't need to be baptized. But he went ahead and did that to show us that it was necessary. If it was necessary for him, it was necessary for us, which is why we have to be baptized and repent of our sins. All right, so next. Mark 1:4. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So there he is mentioned there. We'll read the next one, then we'll kind of discuss a little bit more. John 3:28. You yourselves are my witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. So what it is saying is now he is finally, at least in John, which John is saying, that John the Baptist said that he was not Christ, but he was sent ahead of him. Now we still don't know if he really believed truly that he was the prophet Elijah that they had talked about, that Elijah would come. But we do understand that he understood that the Son of God had not come yet. And so therefore he was still preaching of baptism because that's what his group believed and that's what worked. That is what it was. So he was correct with that. His Jewish sect was correct, and that's why he was chosen to be ahead of Jesus to get everyone prepared that you need baptism and you need repentance, which is another topic we will probably get to probably once we get done with the town series. We'll go into repentance and baptism, because I think there's some there is a movement there in YouTube that we need to discuss about repentance and baptism that I think some people are kind of letting it go, and we need to be a little more aggressive with that. But that is for a different discussion. So it shows here the prophecy of Malachi. Once again, we talked about in Malachi at 4, 5 through 6, where Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. So we know that he believed in that scripture of Malachi. Now John obviously is writing this after the fact of the beheading and after the witness of Christ. So we know that that was the case. So I think in wrapping this up, which I love this as fact, is, you know, John had all of the skills coming from a town, even though that town moved from place to place. You know, he still got education. And it shows that, once again, that it doesn't matter where you come from. It just matters on how you use your skill or what your calling is and that you answer that call. Much like John here came from, you know, a very small, movable town and became one of the greatest, one of the greatest prophets known. I mean, it's movies have been shown about it. People know who John the Baptist is. I mean, yes, we know he ate locusts. He had, you know, camel hair, but we also know that, you know, he was ahead of his time. He knew what was going on. He was trying to get people aware of Christ's coming. So I think at this point we're going to kind of wrap it up with the nomads. I think next week we'll look through the scripture. We'll see which small town kind of pops off to me, and we'll kind of go from there. But I want to thank everybody who listens, all the new listeners that I'm getting. That's awesome. That's great. If you're from another country, welcome. I hope you do enjoy it. If you want to email me, you can email me at smalltownwithmattgaff@gmail.com. If you go on YouTube, I'm on YouTube. I have posted a couple things that I don't normally podcast. So if you want to go and check out my YouTube page, check out my YouTube page if you want to. But if not, you can listen to me on Google on Google Podcasts. You can also Anchor, Spotify, iHeart. If you can hit that like, I would really like that. Download it, hit the listen to, that all helps. And check me out on, once again, on faithcast.com, where you can see other great podcasts, listen to other great podcasts. I really do like that. That really has helped. And then if on the YouTube, like I said, you know, like, subscribe, hit that subscribe button, the notification, all of that. And I will talk to you next Monday at 8 a.m. And just be checking Twitter and Facebook or on Instagram for more updates. I'll see you then.